Happy to have you aboard here for the Really Big Barbecue Show. Boing.
We cook because we have to, and we grill because we want to.
Hit me. Fine. How's it going?
You have a great show. I'm a big fan. Boing. So what seems to be the problem here? This man looks like he's dead, and he's in the crackle.
Charbono. It's all about the Charbono, dude.
Succulent fish. What?
He ate 2 feet before we nurse.
Oh, listen, Labernius, shut your face.
I'm shaking like a dog shit peach seed.
We have top men working on it right now. Top men.
Yeah, just like that, we are into the second hour of the Barbecue Central Show, where we talk about only the most high-level barbecue and grilling-related items that are happening every day, every week, every month of the year, every year of the year. The show originates from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city.
Palm City, USA. Cleveland.
That was in the path of direct totality yesterday for the eclipse. Yippee.
Hit me.
For a 5 to 10 minute span yesterday afternoon, boing, all the automatic house lights on the street and on my house were on. Great. And then they turned right off. We say good evening to those of you watching this show tonight through one of our video streaming platforms. If you would like to watch instead of listen, facebook.com/BBQCentralShow, twitter.com/BBQCentralShow. You can also watch on YouTube, which is youtube.com/@BBQCentralShow. There is a robust chat going on, as always. Still to come on the show this evening, Justo Aroa from JRE Tobacco, makers of the Aladino line of cigars. So stay tuned for that. He's in for both 14 and 35 past the second hour. Thought I heard something like crash where I can't see. YouTube poll question of the week update, and we're asking everybody this. A loaded question, as you've come to find out. Are you currently a social or regular smoker of premium handmade cigars? And 73% of you are saying no. You are not. 27% of us are saying yes, we are. And we will continue to be, and we're going to make sure that the 73% eventually come over to our side, at least occasionally. Why not? Sometimes you need a good hand-rolled premium cigar to take the stresses of the day away. It's the great, I want to say great communicator, but that's not it. It's the great, I don't know, Jeremy said it last week, and I can't remember what he said. It's the common denominator, but that wasn't it either. Who cares? Coming up on the best moments of the Barbecue Central Show in 10 minutes or less, this coming Friday is episode 329, if you can believe it. Almost 330 episodes in. And because I thought I had all of my show preparation done, I thought I had the concept of what this interview was going to be like this coming Friday. But of course, that was the one thing that I didn't do. Shame on me. But we're racing over to the Dropbox file locations, and I'm here to tell you that, oh, of course, how could I forget? If you've ever used any type of a barrel cooker or the Great Equalizer, that's what it was. Yes. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff is part of the 27%, obviously. Anyway, let me get back on track. If you've ever used a barrel-type cooker or especially a Weber Smoky Mountain of any form or fashion, as you were asking for instruction, how do I light this thing? I follow the directions and I can't keep this thing under 500 degrees. Of course, because you read the directions. Throw those out. Back when I was in this whole barbecue and grilling game in the beginning, there was a website called virtualweberbullet.com, which I believe is still in existence, and I found a community of folks that had a Weber Smoky Mountain just like me. And I posted a question. This was a forum back in the day, which I've come to, I don't want to get off track again, but I was talking with Doug Scheiding a little bit earlier today on the phone. And I said, you know, what I figured out is the Facebook communities or groups. This is the present day forum that you see now, except it's very hard to navigate. With the old forums, you had sections, you could search topics, but you can't do any of that hardly with Facebook groups unless I'm an idiot. And of course, I'm probably an idiot. But you can't just find information. It's the same newbies coming in and asking the same noob questions and then getting the same dick answers from the guys who think they're experts. That's no way to go through life. So I think there's an opportunity for forums to actually make a comeback. I'm thinking about it here in 2025 as we talk out loud, but don't take my idea. But anyway, what is that nonsense? So the point I'm trying to make is this. If you've used these cookers before, inevitably you have heard somebody say, well, how do I fire this? The first piece of advice that comes in, use the minion method. What's the minion method? I'm not going to tell you right now, but I have an interview dating back to April 15th of 2008, where I interviewed Jim Minion, the creator of the minion method. And I believe Weber at some point finally gave him credit for that. But that is the way that most people in some form or fashion have figured out how to fire up their cooker. Easier to manage heat on the way up and shut it down than trying to bat the flames down once it's raging hot. It's like a losing battle. So anyway, Jim Minion coming up this Friday. He's a legend. I really got to try and figure out if A, he's still alive, and then B, if he'd like to come back on and do a catch-up, because it's been 16 years since he's been on the show, I believe. Plus, he was one of the originals in the original Brisket Roundtable. It was him, Jim Minion, and Ray Lampe, and Fast Eddie, who I saw here in the chat a few minutes ago, and Leanne Whippin. That was the panel back in the day. All legends, all Hall of Famers. Maybe Eddie isn't a Hall of Famer yet, but he should be a Hall of Famer. I mentioned it during the embedded correspondence segment briefly. It was a question. But I'm here to unleash my full hypocriticalness. Probably not a word. Full hypocrite. I'm going to go full hypocrite. Not that you don't already know me to be a hypocrite. It's where I live. It's where I love to be. I live in hypocrisy. It's my favorite state, capital city hypocrisy. About a month ago, the guy who has said on any number of occasions, if I'm at a vet with one of the four cats that I don't want, and the vet comes back to me and says, whatever she wants to do to the cat is going to cost more than $500. My next question is how much to put it down, right? Said it 100 times. Well, look who's a hypocrite. Because a month ago, one of the cats was whining, complaining, making noises I've never heard this dopey cat make. So what happens? Well, I almost got away with it, except the oldest one was home. She heard that cat whining. She looked at me and she said, you're not going to do anything with this cat. You're going to let that cat die. And I said, well, how dare you? I feed this cat. I get up with this cat in the middle of the night multiple times, put it in a room. I do everything for these cats. All you do is complain about me, and then you leave, go to your college. Well, you're not going to do anything. I got to stay around to make sure. I got to monitor. So I got it. 20 minutes later, I'm off to the cat emergency room, 2 exits up from me, and your boy shucked out $3,500 for emergency cat urethra surgery. The cat's urethra was crystallized shut. Who knew that a male cat around 3 to 5 years old, one of their biggest issues is the lack of length of their ureter. And they make these crystals. I mean, you know, well, I mean, I know. You see cat pee and that stuff dries up. It's like it crystallizes. It's gross. Just traipse through my house. It's all over the fucking place. But this cat could not pee. The vet came in, said, I tried to express the bladder. It's clogged. 2 hours later, oh, successful surgery. Blah, blah, blah. Bad news is, like, 60% chance this thing is going to recur.
What?
Get that big stuff out of here.
Good news and bad news. Am I a hypocrite? Yes. Do I feel very confident when I say out loud to you, the Centralites, right now, I will not be a two-time hypocrite.
Andrew, you are not
be a two-time hypocrite. I will not do it. $3,500, fool me once, shame on me. You? Fool me twice, shame on me. It's not going to be twice, I guarantee. Maybe we get to the Iditarod next week. That's an interesting story. Justo Arroa is in the green room. We'll get to him here in just 1 second. I will talk to you quickly about Franklin Barbecue Pits. I was actually just chatting it up with our pal Matt Gates, who's in charge of putting together his dealer network. So, A, we're trying to line up Aaron Franklin for another interview here on this show, and we'll talk about some barbecue things, but he's into other things like Hot Luck. I think that's hotluck.com. That's getting ready to come off here in the next handful of weeks or so. So we'll have him on to talk about that. If you are a business that is currently supplying barbecue and grilling related products, sauces, rubs, injectors, other paraphernalia, or should I say accoutrement, and you're looking to bring in cookers, if you're looking for the premium offset pit, or at least one of them that's available on the market now, and you want to be somehow associated with the name in the industry, Aaron Franklin, then consider becoming a Franklin Barbecue Pit dealer. What you have with the Franklin Barbecue Pit is a deeply thought out and refined version of the old propane style cooker that he's got at his barbecue place in Austin. Stylistically, it's reflecting the kind of bare bones industrial handmade aesthetic that Aaron loves, the patina, the way the build allows you to see all the welds and the craftsmanship. By the way, when cared for properly, because it doesn't have motors and computer components and all this other nonsense, it'll last for 100 years or more. So if you want to become a dealer, go to the website, franklinbbqpits.com, and then fill out the dealer form. Matt Gase will get a hold of you, put together a deal, make you become a certified Franklin dealer. And there's also other accessory products to bring in, rubs, sauces, gloves, things like this. So open up a couple more revenue streams for you. Trying to build the dealer network here as we really get into the teeth of grilling season, which is soon. By the way, if you'd like to buy one and there's not a dealer near you, same website, franklinbbqpits.com. You can order online. It ships right to the bottom of your driveway. You just have to figure out where to put that 600-pound beast of steel, quarter-inch American-made. FranklinBBQPits.com, and we are back with Justo Arroa. Right after this, stick around, be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. Howard Stern, Jim Rome, Dan Patrick, and Greg Rampe. The Mountain Rushmore of talk show entertainment. Now, let's get back to the Barbecue Central Show.
Welcome back. This portion of the show being brought to you by Pit Barrel Cooker, the most unbelievable outdoor cooking device on the planet, available in 3 sizes, a host of accessories. Doesn't matter if you're a beginner or a professional. It's a cooker you want to add to the arsenal, especially if you're looking getting into the barrel cooking faction of the world. PitBarrelCooker.com, and tell them the Barbecue Central Show sent you. I guess in the second hour tonight, considered by many to be legend and trendsetter in the premium cigar industry, you've heard me talk about Jerry Tobacco and Aladino cigars specifically for the past handful of months on the show. But what's the story behind the company, and how do they make some of the best cigars that are currently available in the cigar market today? I am honored to have some time to ask the guy leading the charge for Jerry Tobacco. Justo Arroa joins me here on the show. Justo, good evening, and I'm excited to have you here on the show. We have a YouTube poll question of the week that we're asking everybody tonight, and I kind of have an idea where you might answer this, but we're asking everybody. Are you currently a social or regular smoker of premium cigars? Yes or no?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course.
How are you?
Of course. Thank you. I'm doing absolutely fabulous and appreciate you joining me here this evening. 74% of the YouTube voting public, believe it or not, is saying no. They are not a regular or occasional smoker of premium cigars, but 26% of us are regular smokers of premium cigars. Is it true? I thought I heard a stat one time that 1% of the American consuming public are consumers of premium cigars in some form or fashion. Have you ever heard that?
More or less, like a rule of thumb, the industry uses about 1% of the population. So you look at it, you know, 3.8 million, or we could probably say 1.5%. So, you know, between 4.5 million or 5 million cigar smokers.
How do we get that up to like 5%? I mean, that seems like 5% is still 95% not, but that's a big bump.
Well, you know, I think honestly, cigar smoking, as you know, everything that has to do with cigarette smoking, which we have nothing to do even close to cigarette smoking,
right,
has kind of been vilified, and a lot of places have been putting so many barriers for us to go into smoking. But honestly, I think we have come into a little bit of a boom. COVID actually had increased the consumption of cigars. You also saw a large increase of higher end liquors that, you know, people weren't able to enjoy them at many bars, so they started buying it at home, and people were able to enjoy more cigars and socializing with higher end liquors. So I think cigar smoking will grow. We are organically growing, and I think as more people get to try cigars and able to enjoy them, it's probably one of the best social events that you could have as a person and friends, and also helps you relax. It's part of a living life in a more substantial way, where you get rid of stress, and it's something that is your own time with friends time also.
Are you a barbecue and grilling guy by chance?
Well, I tried barbecuing and grilling a little bit. I'm probably not even close to what you do, but I give it a shot. I like it. So I like it. And I do smoke cigars while I'm grilling.
The story of Jerry Tobacco isn't just Justo deciding to get into business. You started with your dad, widely considered to be a legend in the industry as well. Can you give us a little insight into Julio, your dad's background, and his experience in cigar making?
Well, my dad is one of the pioneers that after the Cuban embargo, if you look at our Aladino, you'll have 1947 to 1961 in the bands. But my dad is one of these guys that when the Cuban embargo started, just to give you an idea, Tampa, Florida used to be the capital of cigar world. So Tampa, Florida, back in the day, back in the, you know, 60s and 70s, was manufacturing 500 million cigars a day hand rolled.
Wow.
Separate from what they were doing in manufacturing by machine. And today's market is 500 million cigars made by hand. So basically, we're at a steady pace for cigar, hand-rolled cigars. So when the Cuban embargo started, all the tobacco that was being brought into Tampa was from Cuba. So when the embargo came, they had to find alternatives of getting tobacco leaves and raw materials into these factories that were rolling 500 million cigars. So my dad was one of the pioneers that actually was taken by the Oliva family, Angel Oliva and Martin Oliva, which are tobacco brokers. They had nothing to do with the Oliva cigar brand. It's the tobacco brokers out of Tampa. And they took my dad to sort some tobacco that was started in a pilot program back in 1961. So my dad actually went to sort the tobacco after he came from, first of all, he was part of the Bay of Pigs invasion, and then he had to finish off his tour in the U.S. Army and then went to Korea, was stationed in Korea for 2 years. And then he came back in 62 and was taken by the Olivas to sort the tobacco. And from there on, he basically became one of the largest growers of tobacco to supply the needs that were needed for the U.S. market.
Was there any shot that you weren't going to be in this business, or perhaps you did something other than cigars before you got into the Aladino and Jerry stuff?
Well, I was always in it because I'm kind of like a farmer, so I like the tobacco fields, and I like the farming area. And I also have a degree in agronomy. So therefore, you know, it's to me. But I also was in the bottled water business. So I had a bottling company. I also had a bottle manufacturing and also had distribution. So, you know, I was always in separate sides, but always behind the scenes in the farm operation.
What kind of bottled water are you into? Like normal water, right. Water?
Or? Normal bottled water. Normal water bottle, just like Dasani. Like,
can I ask Apina, you a question?
Just like that.
I've had this take sitting on the bottom of my second hour thing, you know, just to run at in case I ran out of material. You tell me if I'm wrong or not. I can't believe I'm going to take time away, but I got to ask. I said, attention, everybody. The biggest scam going out there right now is bottled water. Like you drank water for how long out of the sink? You put in a bottle, whatever. I don't know anybody that doesn't have cases of bottled water stacked up in their garage at any given moment. You go to sporting events, they're selling bottled water. You go on car trips, you're bringing bottled water with you. That had to be the best business to ever get into. Why bother with cigars? Bottled water is the jam.
Yes, it absolutely was. Bottled water is the jam. Well, remember, here in the U.S., they do it because I think it's more practical to just to carry a bottle of water and you carry the cases. But for example, in the area of Honduras and Central America, you have limited amount of water that is tap water. So therefore, bottled water becomes part of a necessity.
For sure.
So we actually bottled in 5-gallon jugs that, you know, the big 5-gallon jugs that you use in the office. And we also started bottling in you know, in the PET bottles, you know, the half a liter and liter bottles. But in today's world, I think not every city, and you know, as the population grows in all the cities, I'm not sure if all the water is potable. But I think today in the U.S. market, it's more of something that is practical, not that a necessity. Because I drink water out of my tap water in my house.
What's it like working with your dad?
Working with my dad is kind of a trip. I mean, he's still in charge, believe it or not. He's 86 years young. He's a drill sergeant, and he's I give him all his room so that way he does what he wants to do. Plus, he's way in Honduras doing more of the farming and looking at the quality of the cigar manufacturing, and I'm here developing the market. So we have, each one of us has a pretty much a scope of work that we need to succeed on to be able to team up and have success. So he does the farming and some of the cigar manufacturing, and I do the selling. And I often go back and forth to the farm almost every month to work with him on the blends and see how quality control and everything's going on.
So can you turn that mic so the front of it's like right in your? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's okay.
Do you think it, I mean, 86, a lot of people say have been retired for 15 years already. Do you think if he decided to hang it up, that would negatively impact him?
I think, honestly, yes. He's always been a person with a lot of action. He always likes to be, that's what keeps him, you know, going. I mean, he gets up in the morning and is, you know, gets up really early, has a coffee, gets up in his Jeep. He's on a wheelchair. He's been in a wheelchair since 1978. So it's been a while. So he had an airplane accident. So so basically, he's a person that gets up in the morning, gets breakfast, goes down to the farm or goes down to the factory. And he's strictly at 11:45. He comes up, has lunch at 12. So he's very disciplined. And you know, then at 1:30 or 2 o'clock, we'll go again down to the factory for another couple hours. And he's got his routine. So he's a person of routine. So I think if you take him out of that routine, you know, he'll get bored, just watch TV and, you know, freak out with all the news.
You talk about all the Cuban tobacco that was coming in the beginning, the embargo happens. How does Julio decide Honduras is the place to start the farm?
Well, one of the things, since remember, not only Honduras, but you also had, for example, Northern Florida, Quincy, Florida was also growing tobacco too. So my dad, before going to Honduras, was sent to Quincy, and they were actually growing shade tobacco. But Honduras, since they had the pilot program, and basically there were no alternatives of, you know, because you had a demand of, you know, getting raw materials for 500 million cigars, you know, as the test of all the tobacco started happening, you know, you have soil which is very rich, it's all tropics. You know, we're all they're virgin land, so therefore when the tobacco came out, it was just absolutely fabulous. So you actually got tobacco with more aroma, as good as quality as the with using the Cuban seed. And then from there on, it just took off. And, you know, you had no alternative to find an alternative. So therefore, Honduras, Nicaragua, Dominican Republic started popping up into the market and became, you know, the new suppliers. But it's still true today.
That's funny that you mentioned those other places, because that's where my next question was going. When you look at the other big places, Dominican, Nicaragua, as you said, they're all different in the kind of tobacco flavors they produce. Like, in other words, whatever you're growing in Honduras, would you have a different product if you were growing it in the Dominican or Nicaragua, or would it be roughly the same?
I would say the characteristics would be very, very, very similar. I think what really changes a lot is with the process that you use. When you're aging the tobacco or when you're harvesting. So there's a lot of components that can affect the tobacco. But, you know, I would say there could be some differences because of the soil, the weather. You know, for example, you have tobacco in Ecuador, which is extremely beautiful. They have a microclimate that yields a lot of wrapper. But, you know, flavor-wise, this might not be as intense or rich as you have from Honduras, Nicaragua, or DR. DR has a little bit more humidity than where we're growing tobacco. So our tobacco will tend to have more flavor than other ones. So there are some changes when it comes to not only the soil type, but also about the humidity in the environment.
Is there a country we should be tracking as the next big cigar growing making region that we're not familiar with at the moment?
Well, right now, pretty much everything is kind of dominated by the three, you know, Nicaragua, Dominican, and Honduras. I know there's some factories being done in Costa Rica, but, you know, labor-wise, it's very expensive. You know, they're small factories, but they're, you know, they're putting out good product. But I think, honestly, as time goes on, I still see the dominance in these three places, unless, you know, Cubans opens up for business, which I think that's going to be a hard one to go.
JRE is a vertically integrated premium cigar company. For the audience that is new to cigars, what's the term vertically integrated mean? And are there any disadvantages to being a crop to shop?
Well, there are. I'll tell you, for example, vertically integrated from us is basically when you start from, you know, from seedlings all the way to planting the tobacco, you know, going through the tobacco barns, growing your own tobacco, putting into the aging process, going to the sorting, going through aging the tobacco. So by the time you plant the seed and you get it to making a cigar, it's going to take you 2 to 3 years. So that's the disadvantage of being vertically integrated. Okay, so being not vertically integrated and just buying tobacco, you just buy the tobacco, age it, whatever you need, and then you don't have to deal with all the cost and all the time and all the risk of growing tobacco. So the advantage is you control the whole process and you can choose whatever is best for your tobacco and your cigars. But at the same time, there's a lot of more risk. It's growing, you know, always the one that carries all the risk are the farmers.
Are there a lot of companies that start out as buying the tobacco so they can get something to market quicker, but they have the thought or the short-term concept of becoming vertically integrated?
I would say most of the companies buy their tobacco, and many of the companies and many brands are manufactured by third parties. So you have a lot of big brands that are done by third parties. And growing mostly are family companies. You know, you have like Plasencia, you have the Olivas, you have, you know, you have my father, you know, so those are guys that are vertically integrated, mostly rely on family operations, and then they sell tobacco to third parties also.
Let's go ahead and discuss one of my favorite cigars in your portfolio, which is the Aladino brand, number of brands in the line. When did you first bring Aladino to market, and how has it progressed over the years?
Okay, I would say that Aladino, when my dad asked me to come over, and I would say we were actually launching Aladino. I came to work with him in 2016, but by 2017, we started coming out with all Aladinos. And the first line that we came out was the regular Corojo. Regular Corojo is basically our staple. It's 100% Corojo, filler, binder, and wrapper. Then after that, we came out with a Maduro cigar, which is a box press Maduro San Andres. And following that, we came out with a Connecticut. And from then on, we expanded basically to Corojo Reserva, which is basically sort of the higher primings of the 100% Corojo cigar, which are way richer, slower burning, a little bit heavier leaf. But they carry a lot of flavor and a lot.
Oh, it's my favorite, by far my favorite.
Yeah, believe me, that's by far our best seller too. so it sells really well. I know you told me you had talked to you had Jonathan on the show, and Jonathan is probably the maybe between you and him are the ones that smoke the most Reservas in the whole country.
He's probably got me by a little bit, but he certainly turned me on to it.
He smokes morning, afternoon. I would say he probably runs through a box a week.
How do you rate that in like strength and flavor?
Well, there's two things. A lot of people get confused. A lot of people get, this is something for me that is very important because we blend for flavor. Most of our cigars are medium body, but they're full of flavor. So when I mean is full of flavor is, for example, is maybe you can relate this and maybe in a barbecue way, when you smoke a meat, you give it smoke and it gives it a more intensive aroma when you're having a piece of some barbecue. So we try to give that aroma when you're smoking it without being harsh. And sometimes people confuse a little bit of young tobacco, a little bit of ammonia with that harshness. They'll confuse it as strength. And I consider strength are the higher primings that will give you more nicotine that might give you a buzz when you're smoking. So it could get you. That's what I think of strength. But like I say, the way we blend is because I want you to smoke one cigar, not get over your palate overwhelmed, and then smoke another cigar. And that way is very easy going for any smoker that could have a mild to medium palate and is able to smoke one of our cigars. But at the same time, if you like a bolder cigar, we have so much aroma and flavor that could also satisfy your palate.
There's obviously specific reference, especially when you read the material of the original Cuban Corojo seed. You had mentioned it a handful of minutes ago. What is it about the Corojo seed that is important to you guys?
Well, one of the things is basically that's how a lot of the Cuban cigars became known, because they were extremely flavorful. They had a natural sweetness to it, but but at the same time, nobody likes to use that today because it is very hard to grow. Not only is it low yielding, around 1,400 pounds per acre versus 1,800 or 2,000. And then it's very susceptible to blue mold or disease. So therefore, we kind of grow it, and where not normal seasons are done. So we reduce the risk of blue mold, and at the same time, it's part of our DNA, and that's why we're known so well, and that's why kind of Aladino has become one of the fastest growing brands in the country, because of that taste profile that it's very hard to replicate unless you have that seed, that tobacco.
Not too long ago, you released another one in the Aladino line called the Sumatra. In the barbecue world, companies listen to their customers and then they try to develop products or services to meet those needs. Was there a demand from JRE customers or perhaps the market in general that you were seeing to have a Sumatra cigar available from Aladino?
Well, one of the major brands that you'll see today, and for example, the Series V from Oliva is all Sumatra. So there is a lot of Sumatra wrappers, which is a beautiful cigar. You know, it's dark, pretty, tastes really well. And, you know, it's got some sweetness to it. And, you know, we have been growing Sumatra since 2016. We just had not put it out. So we came out with a Sumatra, and now it's something that, you know, we just started, you know, with a project of, you know, 1,000 boxes, and we ended up over 2,000 boxes in demand. So, you know, it's something that worked out, you know, to be pretty nice.
So are you able to meet that demand? Like, you have tobacco in tow? Yes.
Usually when I come out with something, I have enough tobacco to, if I need to, you know, pump up the production, I have that tobacco. So that's not going to be a problem.
One of the things that I hear about Sumatra specifically, and I'm going to use some dumb language here, but like a stankness, or there's something about Sumatra specifically that doesn't put people over the moon. However, when I smoke the Aldino version, that I pick up none of that, only what might be my second favorite cigar on the line now to Corojo Reserva. Is there something special that you're doing with it, or is it just through a handling and aging process that you're able to eliminate some of that stuff that people talk about?
Well, separate from having aging, also when you know, wrapper brings a lot into the palate. It's like adding a rub into a meat. You know, you add the rub, or you add the salt, that gives it, you know, that punch of taste. But you also, when you inject the meat and you add, you know, substance into the meat, that also has to do with what we use as fillers and binders. So sometimes, even like, for example, we came out with a Candela, and what we needed to do is overpower the Candela wrapper so we wouldn't taste that grassy. So I used a higher priming binder and some filler that would overpower the wrapper, and that way the fillers would basically taste like that. The same thing we do with the Sumatra. In our case, our Sumatra, we've been very lucky, and it's been very, the flavor profile is fantastic. So it just depends where'd you get the Sumatra. The way we age tobacco, we do it, we don't accelerate anything, and so therefore, by keeping it slowly, it's like smoking, you know, a piece of meat. You do it slowly, you get more smoke, and that's what we do in Pilones. We slowly age the tobacco, so that way, if you do it too fast and you overheat it, then you lose the flavor profile. Then you might have that stink, like you said, because you lose the flavor. Mm-hmm. It has no body. You killed it.
I had Jeremy Ellis on the show last week from McAuliffe Cigars. We briefly spoke about the PCA that happened in Vegas a couple weeks ago, and he mentioned they were introducing a new cigar. Anything new from Jerry Tobacco at this year's PCA?
Well, basically, one of the things that we had, I've never been a Gordo lover, but now people do smoke a lot of Gordo. So we came out with a Gordo Maduro, which we needed to expand the line there. We also came out with the Fumanoche, which is a Maduro cigar with which I would say is stronger than the Reserva, but doesn't have any pepper at all, because I'm not using any Corojo. So that is a cigar that hopefully you'll try soon, and you'll be very surprised. You know, it will sneak up on you because it's sweet like honey, but you know, it's going to sneak up on you. So that's a new one that came out, and we also showcased kind of a cigar that will be coming out for kind of in the Father's Day area. It's going to be the only and unique 100% Cameroon that nobody's ever done in the industry, so that we're coming out with that.
And that's 100% binder, filler, wrapper, yes. All Cameroon.
Wrapper, yes.
So how long have you been growing that tobacco for?
We've been growing since 2016.
Oh, wow.
The same year we started growing to Sumatra. But, you know, we started with 2 acres, 4 acres, 16 acres. And we slowly grew up, and now we're getting to become more predominantly known for Cameroon. We're known for Corojo. Now we're going to try to, you know, build something else in the Cameroon and also in the Sumatra area.
What's the biggest flavor profile differences in your eyes between a Corojo and a Cameroon?
I would say they have some similarities because they both have spice. Okay. But I would say the Cameroon is sweeter. Okay. Now the Cameroon might be a little bit harder to work with because for us it's a newer leaf, but the Corojo we've known for many, many years, but they have some similarities. But definitely the amount of sweetness, there's more intensity and sweetness in the Cameroon than there is in the Corojo.
I talk to a lot of folks on the show who are in the barbecue business, specifically food trucks, restaurants. And one of the things we talk about all the time is size of menu and how being everything to everyone can be a huge pitfall for a restaurant operator. And I'm curious to know in the cigar business, for instance, you have Corojo Reserva blend, but then you could have 8 to 10 different vitolas of one blend. So when does too many size options become problematic for the manufacturer?
I honestly, I'm a believer that less is more. For example, in the regular Corojo line, we have 12 vitolas. But then if you go down the line in the other vitolas, like the Cameroon, the Maduro, even the Reserva, we only have 3 vitolas in the Reserva. Once in a while, we'll come out with a Corona, which is a limited edition. But you know, I try to stick to 4 to 5, Robusto Toro Gordo. That's what most people smoke. And, you know, just keep it simple because, you know, at the same time, also the humidors and you know, in different stores have limited amount of space. So the more vitolas you have, it complicates the amount of boxes you make. It complicates the amount of rollers that you have to make. And not all the sizes move the same. So, you know, Robusto and Toro are your workhorses. So you'll see that in most of our portfolio, we're pretty concise with 4 to 5 vitolas.
We learned at the beginning of the interview that Aladino, Jerry Tobacco, is a generational business, if you will. So it's you, it's your dad. But there are other Aroas in the JRE ecosystem as well. Do you try to talk them out of getting into the cigar business, or do you know pretty much early on that they want to take part in helping build the JRE brand?
Well, you know, we started first. I got 3 daughters, and we started first.
Same.
Yeah, same. There you go. Yeah. No wonder you're losing your hair. I used to be way taller. So anyways, what happened was we started taking them to the trade shows in 2016, and they started working in the trade show, and they started to like it. And now they liked it so much that 2 of them are working. The oldest one works, Vivi's working in Europe and managing the European market. And Andrea is working with us. She actually had her degree and got a CPA, started working for Pricewaterhouse, and then came to work with us after 2 years. And both of them had to work outside of our business before they could start working with us. And now they have become a very integral part of our business. They're very engaged. They're very all the new marketing and blends that we're talking about and presentations. They're completely involved in a very, very passionate way. So we're very happy and lucky to have them on board.
Have you ever been approached since getting cigars out by any other big tobacco company to buy JRE?
No, I think, you know, our size right now is pretty modest and small. So, you know, we're slowly growing, but you know, there's still a long way for us to be noticed. You know what I'm saying? So I don't see that happening. You know, we're still in a early stage. This is only our 6th, 7th year with the brand. So, you know, you won't be established until you're about 10, 12 years in a brand. And then, you know, that might change the approach of other companies see you. But you know, for now, we're just trying to get our footprint in most of the market in the US.
Do you ever do any private label stuff? Like if I called you offline and said, hey, I want to make a cigar called the Barbecue Central Show Banger, but I want it to really be a Corojo Reserva cigar. Is that something that you think about, or you got enough on your plate doing your own stuff?
Well, we have enough on our plate, but we could always do some limited editions on something. No, we have made several private labels. For example, we made the Golden Era Punch. We make also the Aliados too. So, you know, there are some big labels that we make, and we're very proud to teaming up with them, and you know, very, very, very happy to be able to work with these companies.
Generally speaking, what do you think the best thing about smoking cigars are?
I would say, honestly, like anything that we do in our lifetime, that we're here for X amount of time, and then we leave. It's the memories that you create. You sit around, you speak with friends, you're able to engage, you're able to spend time at the same time, you're able to relax. But I would say the cigar industry has been, for me, which I had never been in the side of the commercial side, always been in the farm. So my limitations was talking to horses, tractors, and the guys I work with. Here, I got to go and, sit in stores and talk to different retailers and meet a lot of the consumers. And I got to tell you, it is pretty fulfilling that, that you're able to meet so many interesting people that are so generally good people. And I think that's something that for me is been very, very cool.
How unhealthy or healthy is smoking cigars?
I just did a blood test for life insurance, and I came out as a non-smoker. So there is a huge difference. There's a huge difference because when we smoke cigars, we just take the nicotine into the mouth. And it's actually even, the amount of nicotine is probably even less than when you're doing chewing tobacco. So is a chewing tobacco considered a non-smoker? Somebody that chews tobacco?
I guess a non-smoker, but I mean, a tobacco, yeah, it's the same tobacco thing. Eater, right?
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? So I would say that, and there, as a matter of fact, there are a couple, I think Prudential doesn't even penalize you if you're a cigar smoker. You can smoke cigars as long as you say you are, you'll get the same rate versus the other. And if you look at most of the cigar guys in the industry, that, the old timers, all the legends like Avo, my dad, and, Padron, they all were late in the 90s, some to the hundreds, and they all smoke, 10 cigars, 20 cigars a day. So I would say cigars, I can't assure you that they do help you, relax and get your stress away. So that's part of one of the biggest killers that you have in the world. I'm not going to say you is a supplement as a vitamin. You smoke it every day and you'll be healthier. But people that smoke it, tend to be happier.
How many you smoke a day generally?
Normally I would say when I'm traveling in the stores, I will smoke 5-6 cigars a day or up to 7 cigars a day. But normally when I'm at the office, I might smoke 2 or 3 cigars a week. That's, so it just changes up whether I'm traveling and engaging and smoking cigars with consumers and being at events. And that changes the whole dynamics of my pattern. But I travel 25, 30 weeks a year. So I'm smoking, easily, couple cigars a day.
And it's not like you're just traveling to the mega metropolises. I mean, last weekend you were in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. So not like a booming city that everybody's... Now, I just happen to have heard there because my daughter was on the volleyball team for 4 years.
Supposedly he was going to... Your boyfriend was going to show up, never showed up.
I know. Shane, well, we're going to have a talk with him for next time.
We'll talk with him, yeah. But he was probably intimidated by smoking cigars.
I'm just trying to get him into it. And I'm like, you got to go down. They're going to be at NL. And he's like, I don't know. Maybe I'll get down there.
You got to get a try of the Tatascan, the Sweet Tip. That's the entry cigar for all the guys. Yeah. I think that's the next cigar. You should try it. Because I think the cigars... That's where most people start smoking cigars, is with a Sweet Tip, which is very mild, very creamy, and it's very, very enjoyable. I smoke a lot of those all the time.
What brands and companies do you think are doing it right at this moment in the cigar industry?
I would say there's plenty of brands that, have their own personality and do real well. You could say even, Tatuaje, I could say... now that I'm involved with the guys from Punch, they're bringing back Punch to what it was before. You also have, for example, Byron, that's doing it really well, and Atabe. I think those are one of the most beautiful marketing, and their cigars are completely fantastic. There are plenty of people that try to do a good job out there. And I think today the U.S. consumers is completely inundated with great quality cigars and beers.
Holding JRE products to the side, what other brands would you smoke with your own money?
I would tend to smoke cigars because I like more flavor and stronger thing that is in a mild side, I would smoke, you know, without even, you know, it could be, you know, Davidoff, Camacho, you know, Cohiba, as long as it's a milder cigar. I like to enjoy a cigar and smoke one and follow up with another cigar. So for me, it's more of a profile that I'm looking for rather than a brand.
Between the two, which is more important and should have more money allotted to it, the lighter or the cutter?
I would say probably the lighter, because I half of the time or three quarters of the time, I don't use a cutter.
What do you do? Bite it off?
I bite it off. Or I just take the cap off. And then if you look at my father, he'll get a pencil and just put a little hole in it to show off the draw.
Yes, of course. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
We're talking with Justo Arroa here from Jerry Tobacco. The website is jerrytobacco.com. Justo, I appreciate all the time here this evening, getting a great look at the history of JRE, where you've at today, and then, of course, talking about some general cigar stuff. Really appreciate the time and the support of the show, and hopefully we can do it again some down the road.
Absolutely, and I got to go and see you and try some barbecue.
Look me up in Cleveland. I got you hooked up.
Absolutely.
Have a good night.
We'll definitely do that.
All right.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Have a great night.
Justo Arroa right there. JRETobacco.com is the place to go if you are looking to find where you can get your hands on some of the best cigars out there. Hopefully you enjoy that. Little self-indulgent, of course, but hey, I didn't break to read an ad. We're going to do it now because we're probably going to hit the show out on time as well. Grab them in the brisket if you're still in the chat. There were two new ones, Fuma Noche, which is the stronger one, and then the Cameroon Reserva, which is going to be released around Father's Day, I believe Justo said. So keep your eye out for those. Not sure when Fuma Noche is rolling out. The third one that we talked about was the Sumatra. That was limited edition. Probably kind of hard to come by. But we'll see. Maybe I get a box at some point. I'll share one with you. All right, listen up, gang. Our friends at Big Papa Smokers have something special for you, listeners of the show. Whether you're a seasoned pitmaster or a grilling newbie, Big Papa Smokers, your one-stop shop for all things barbecue. From their championship rubs, mouthwatering sauces, essential accessories, they've got what you need to take your food to the next level, whether you're on the competition circuit or in the backyard. And here's the cherry on top. Big Pop Smokers offering the listeners of the Barbecue Central Show an exclusive deal. Use promo code REMPE at checkout. That's REMPE. And you get $10 off your next $50 purchase of rubs, sauces, or accessories. Accessories? Imagine the possibilities. Evaluate your ribs with Big Papa's Sweet Money. Add Big Papa's Desert Gold to your chicken or vegetables, or better yet, try Big Papa's Double Secret. Put it on your steak. Head on over to BigPopSmokers.com. Start shopping today. And don't forget to use the promo code REMPE at checkout and claim your $10 off your next order of $50 or more. Also, don't forget to check out Big Papa's full line of recipes at CookingWithBigPapa.com. Follow him on social media for amazing recipes. We are back to wrap the show. Hold on. We're back to wrap the show right after this. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Whole packers, full racks, legs and thighs, injecting butts. If you've never heard this before, you might think you found the best Triple X show ever. Let's get back to the most homoerotic host out there today, Craig Rempe.
And as luck would have it, the closing segment tonight brought to you by Aladino Cigars. We talked about it right here on the show, my favorite Corojo Reserva. Mr. Jonathan smoking more than me, but maybe I'm second in the country, so I would be honored. They also have the new Sumatra recently released, and then the recently released Fuma Noche, which is a little bit more bolder than the Corojo, but not as spicy. and the Cameroon Reserva, which is a Cameroon Puro, I believe. So it's Cameroon wrapper, Cameroon binder, Cameroon filler. Plus, they have a whole bunch of other great cigars. So if you don't have a retailer that is carrying JRE right now, shame on them. Go to jretobacco.com and you tell your retailer, get on the ball, pal. Get on over to jre.com and get in touch with somebody to set you up as a retailer, because I'm coming here to buy Aladinos and I'm going to do it early and off because they're some of the best cigars out there on the market right now. And I guess that's going to be it. So all the way back in the first hour, if you remember, who was it? Meathead. Meathead bought Barbecue Stars, and now there's 120 broadcast quality videos from 12 different talents. Tuffy Stone, Harry Soup, Meathead, the guys from SCA, three chefs I've never heard of, Jack Arnold, easily the most popular of all 12. And Meathead's like, who? Jack who? I'm going to have a offline conversation with Meathead to make sure that he's going to be leveraging this right, because Kent Rollins has got a million followers on one of those social media channels. Jack Arnold's huge on Instagram. Tuffy Stone's getting bigger and bigger on YouTube. You got to leverage to make this success. And for crying out loud, for everybody that bought Barbecue Stars, turn them off immediately. Make them pay the $35. Let's get over that right now. That's nonsense. After Meathead, it was Robert Moss, robertfmoss.com. We were talking about barbecue and community and celebrating events and how that's evolved over time, 19th century into the 20th century. Second hour, all JRE tobacco all time. Justo Arroa joined me, a guy who once was a tycoon of bottled water before he got into cigars. That blew my mind, bottled water. But doing a very good deed by providing water to countries that didn't have clean drinking water. So not just for here in the States, a lot of stuff was getting shipped back to countries that don't have potable water. So that's great. But enjoyed learning all about the company. Again, it just has inspired me to become an even bigger fan of Aladino. So appreciate Justo's time. He's a very busy guy. As I said, he's just in from a two-day stint out in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, near the friendly confines of Seton Hill University. Big show playing for you next week. Tim Clowers, perhaps Clowers, will be joining us. We're going to talk to him about barbecue social media and the Schwenk grill, which he is a user of. We also have Jess Pryle showing up, and we have Matt Osmond making a reappearance. It's going to be great. You stick around. How do I always leave you? September 11th, 2001. I will never forget. Until next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's your program host and proud U.S. American, Greg Rempe. Good night now.
Hi, this is Austin Parsons, Pitmaster with Smoky Mountain Q in Nashville, Tennessee, and you are listening to the Barbecue Central Show.